This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor and co-host Mark Murphy.
Hi there, Dave.
Now, this week, as part of our week-long one-square-mile look at the town of Bristol, we're profiling a Bristol-based company that has taken the marine trade's high tech to cutting edge. And our guest is Jonathan Craig, the sales and marketing director at GMT Composites of Bristol. It was founded in 1984. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dave.
Now, GMT makes carbon fiber composite product. Generally, quickly describe what that is.
Correct. Yeah, carbon fiber you see in a lot of applications. We typically use what's called a prepreg unidirectional carbon fiber. I joke, it looks like an expensive tar paper, but it is a very lightweight, very stiff, strong strength of weight product that we can use. Bake it in an oven, and you can form it to just about any shape.
You brought a sample of the product, which for radio, we can't see it, but looking at it, it's very thin, very lightweight, and as you say, you can make it into just about any use.
That's one of the non-marine products that we make. That's called a robotic end effector. It's basically the hand of a robotic arm, and that is a very thin laminate. It's very stiff and strong, and it's a stable product as well to keep the fiber optics on the tips of it in line.
You've made some equipment for the America's Cup, even for the U.S. Navy, moving into other areas, robotics, medical components. Who are some of your specific clients?
Well, without giving up too many of our secrets, we do some with local companies. Raytheon is one. We've done Northrop Grumman. We've certainly done some military applications. Some of them are subcontracting jobs. Some of them we do a component that we're never actually quite sure what its end use really is.
So it sounds to me like as a component manufacturer, and that's mostly what you do, right? Do you do any much end use, like actual direct to another client kind of thing?
In the marine side, you could say we do in the rigs, but it is a component of a complete yacht.
Now, one thing it makes me wonder, how much do you export? And let's include the components you make for other companies for them to include in a product that they then export. Do you have a sense of the percentage of your work that goes out of the country?
Yeah, we're not entirely sure on some of our non-marine products what percentage of those are domestic or export. But if we say we do half and half marine and non-marine, even some of our marine products we're shipping overseas. We've shipped 80-foot-long masts by air to out of country before, so we recently did a mast in Brazil that was an air shipment straight to Brazil. So percentage-wise, maybe 30-40%.
Now, what is it about Bristol? what's the advantage? Why did the company start there and why do you stay?
Well, it's a beautiful spot for one thing, no doubt about that. But I would say it's really the marine heritage that brings the technology to a specific area. Bristol just has a long history of maritime use, and you can see the Herreshoff Museum there, but that just is sort of a hotbed of talent. So in the composites industry, when we started, you go to where the talent is, and Bristol just has a lot of people that are experienced in the composite trade.
And how do you keep that talent up to date? How do you go about training someone in this field?
Well, one of our most recent hires came from a Rhode Island school, IRIS, the International Yacht Restoration. Mm-hmm. So he had taken the composites course through IRIS, and then he is a good applicant for a job placement with us. So now we can take the skills that he learned there and build on those. Our shop foreman, for example, has been with us for 25 years, I think now, just about 25 years. So we have a lot of in-house talent that can then train the newer people.
How big is your staff?
We have about 8 full-time employees.
And what kind of skills do they need to work there?
Attention to detail, patience, sense of humor, of course, helps. but really, it's that attention to detail and ensuring that whatever they're doing, it in the proper way so the end product comes out to the high levels of expectation of our customers, whether it's marine or non-marine.
And where do you find the staff?
The staff, a lot of our people have been there for a minimum of 10 years. I'm one of the newer guys that has been there for a couple of years now. We just hired 2 recent people in the past year, and the one came from IRIS, another one came from a local boat builder. So it's a lot of times you're hiring talent that already knows a lot about the composites.
So it's a small company with an international imprint.
Absolutely, yeah.
How much of an effort is going on to find new markets for the expertise that you've developed, starting with boat building?
Well, that's part of my job responsibility, is finding those new avenues. And they're not always easy, but a lot of times it's people that are looking for solutions to a problem, and they may contact you asking you for one thing, and then you can actually, through conversation, realize that they need help with other products, other areas of application with the carbon.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. We're speaking with Mr. Jonathan Craig, the Sales and Marketing Director of GMT Composites in Bristol. You go back to 1984. Was that a startup?
The company was started in 1984, exactly, to get into marine composites, which was fairly new at the time, and certainly applying carbon fiber in the marine composites trades was very cutting-edge technology at that time.
You have wide diversification now of customers. Does that help in the boom and bust economy?
Yeah, absolutely, no question. Everybody went through a hard time. We sort of operate in a lean amino atmosphere to begin with, but having those non-marine products that are more staples of a Q&A process for silicon wafers, for example, is a fairly stable industry to be involved in. So yeah, the wider you can spread yourself out, the better for surviving those lean times.
Now, you said you just hired a couple of people. Were those are those additions to the staff, or did they replace existing jobs?
Those were additions to the staff, actually, yeah.
So you've added, in effect, in the last year, you've added 33% to your staff.
Right? Yeah, we did. We had a fairly busy year this past year, and things seem to be coming back slowly but surely.
Do you have much contact with colleges and universities, especially their research units or think tanks, perhaps, with the carbon technology related to that?
We do have some. A lot of times it comes in the way of a phone call when somebody may have a program or a research project that they're working on, and they're looking for ways to solve a problem, and they're looking for advice or help or possibly helping them with a product. One product I had mentioned was for the company Terrafugia that had come from MIT think tank, and now it's a standalone company, and they're in the prototype phase of a flying car, believe it or not.
When you're talking with prospective clients or following up with the current clients, is there any sense of surprise that you folks are in Bristol, that you're not in Tampa, that you're not in Annapolis or something?
There can be. A lot of times it doesn't really matter where you are, but I think Rhode Island has such a long established history in the maritime trade specifically, that does not come as a surprise to people. They recognize Newport, even Bristol, as an area of historic significance in maritime.
So if you were going to speculate, and not without giving away any trade secrets, where do you think your next venture would be, you know, to use what you guys do, and you know, what kind of industries are you looking at?
Well, I have a meeting next week to discuss some of those. But yeah, we look at trying to leverage relationships with existing customers. A lot of them have a very large bandwidth in terms of the projects that they're working on. So it's a question of going to those, there's the low-hanging fruit, and say, okay, what other projects do you have in-house that, or different branches of your company that we might be able to help with? So that's really where you start.
Do you see any impediments to growth in Bristol for you, I mean, going forward?
Not currently, no. It's where we are. We've been established for a long time, and I think being established in one place for a long time actually helps your business.
GMT Composites Sales and Marketing Director Jonathan Craig has been our guest as The Bottom Line this week looks at a company in Bristol. Jonathan, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thanks again to Providence Business News editor and co-host Mark Murphy.
Great to be here as always, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.